Call the Board of Supervisors to session. Supervisor Valenzuela, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Bradley.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here today. Thank you for those who serve faithfully in the positions that they've been elected to or appointed to. And Father, in the activities of this meeting, we just pray for clear thinking. We pray for positive attitudes. We pray for encouragement to each one who's serving. For those who have issues to bring before the board, may we listen carefully with understanding. We continue to pray for those who've lost their homes in the recent fires and just strengthen and encourage them in many different ways. Thank you for those who are supportive and who are encouraging. And we just ask you to bless this day for each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ms. Willingham, roll call.
Alrighty.
All those fun things.
Alrighty. Supervisor Cobb.
Here.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
Here.
Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Here.
And it appears Supervisor Ogren is out for the day.
Correct.
She is.
And just a quick note that the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, as well as the Board of Supervisors, and receives no additional compensation.
Okay, thank you. With that, is there anything for the agenda, corrections or anything like that, Ms. Davis or Mr. Pierce?
I don't have a correction. What I do have is an urgency item for closed session. After the posting of the agenda on October 14, 2022, the Board of Supervisors meeting of October 18, 2022, County Council was advised of facts and circumstances related to a matter of which the Board needs to give direction on. The next Board meeting is not until November 1st, 2022, and the Board must act to provide direction regarding this matter before the next regularly scheduled Board meeting. Therefore, staff requests that the Board determine by a two-thirds vote for the members present today that this urgency item pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.2B2 be added to the closed session agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. Aye. Presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend to 5 for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters from the jurisdiction of the board. I see one public comment in HAPS, Mr. Brian Cinnone.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Brian Cinnone, Director of Emergency Services. This morning, I wanted to just give you an update of kind of where we're at post-fire. So with recovery, we have our housing for the mill fire. We have six trailers that have been delivered and are waiting last final inspection at the Hilo in Weed. We also have secured 9 additional spots in Weed, and we're waiting for an MOU with the from legal, from state, and from our county, just to before we can release all those details out to the public. But the city of Weed and the cooperating agency has been really helpful in pushing that forward and getting that through quickly. We also have, through the Hilo and the townhouse motels, both assisting with access and functional needs. And we have secured funding for as long as we need to make sure that people are comfortable and their survivors have a place to sit, have a place to stay. I'd like to personally, on behalf of OES, thank Susan Cervelli, has been working probably more hours than me right now. So she has been just working around the clock and making sure that all the folks and all the survivors have an ear and can and make sure that those folks have a place to stay and for all the fires. In fact, we were able to help some McKinney folks yesterday, which was it was awesome. Great to hear. So with that, we are waiting on some Amazon move-in kits to fully outfit each trailer. We'll have dishes, everything that you would need to move in, towels, the washcloths, it'll all be there. That will be arriving on the 26th of October. It's been a little bit of a shipping delay. But once those are in place, then we can start handing out keys and getting the folks that are requesting trailers, we can have them start moving in and starting to rebuild that recovery and that life over again. Cleanup is moving really quickly. So their state has 4 teams on the ground this week, and they're doing site assessment and making sure that we're going to be able to move through this nice and quick. A contract will be signed this week with one of the cleanup agencies through Cal OES, and they're looking to start work quickly. As you know, we have some weather on the way, and they've speaking with those teams, they've realized that as long as there's no snow, they should be able to just continue and press on forward. For the McKinney buyer, one of the things that we are concerned about is this weather. So my office, have been working closely with the National Weather Service for our VARs, our values at risk in the area that have been identified. And this next week, you'll start seeing, or this week, at the end of this week, and a lot of next week, you'll start seeing a lot of warning and alerts pushed out to ensure that those folks are aware of what's coming with the possibility of debris flows and slides. Those are our big significant events right now, and just watching that, especially for the Klamath River watershed, that along 97 where that McKinney fire and the China Yeti fire were affected. Very steep slopes, so very concerning on those areas. The last but not least is right of entries. So if you have any push on that, that would be great as Board of Supervisors to push for the right of entries for any of the property owners that still need to sign that to get the state. Our goal is 100% compliance with that. And Rick Deeming and his team have done a fantastic job to push that forward. We still have a few stragglers out there, but once we get those, we should be good. It speeds up the process of cleanup. They don't have to skip around, especially somewhere in like Lincoln Heights. They can just go property to property and get that nice and clean and quick. So, and with that, pending any questions, that's the end of my report.
Any questions from colleagues or Supervisor Thompson?
So thank you for the great work you're doing, first of all. Secondly, are there still, are all of the immediate needs being met per se? I'm getting word from people that want to donate in here, you know, they want to get money to the ground quickly. But my understanding is most everything is being taken care of currently. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. So the one great thing about Siskiyou County is when disaster happens, everyone steps up. There are accounts being set up for McKinney Fire, Mill Mountain through Siskiyou County Credit Union. There are donations that I'm taking care of today for gift cards for the children that were displaced for school needs. And yeah, immediate needs are taken care of. So whether it be food, housing, sheltering, unless we absolutely positively do not know that person exists, everyone's needs have been met.
Okay. And then lastly, communication. People that call and say, I'm not hearing from you. What's the communication factor? I don't want to overburden you with just call Brian, you know, he'll take care of it, or the CAO. I know you both are hands-on on this, but is there a communication factor within the city of Weed to contact there? Where do I guess, push people to, you know, who should they contact?
Yes, great question. So I would say for that really is just using basically that upward push. So city officials pushing up. If it's not getting resolved, we know about it. Sometimes we're pushing it down, and I speak with the city managers and I speak with the folks that are on the ground handling. A lot of it is being run all through Susan. We're trying to get some help on that with her. There is a master list, if you will, that is very brightly colored with what everyone's needs are. So If there's anything that doesn't feel like it's being pushed out or being connected, please let me know, and we'll make sure that does get happen.
Worry.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Reiser, help.
So I contacted a couple of different departments in the last week or so on long-term aggravated hazard trees. We're not talking about immediate need, what you're talking about right now. And I don't know whether or not you're involved in that discussion. I hope you are, that we're going to reach out to you. I know the county historically has exerted public safety pressure on the Forest Service for not cleaning up hazard trees that are falling on roads. We need similar done currently, because the Forest Service is not cleaning up hazard trees that are just outside our right-of-way and falling both on the county roads and on Forest Service highways for some of the major transportation routes like the Great Edge Road. Anyway, I'm just bringing it to your attention, and you know, I'm looking for some resolve and some horsepower, I think, legally even, from the county to engage this issue and get it resolved.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So this is a major push in our office right now. Contacts across the board with this. The hazard tree, not only an immediate need, but also once we start seeing some more rain coming down, and then looking at a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year plan, that these trees are going to continue to be obstructions through major throwaways. A great example of that is Grayback. We're seeing that from the Slater fire. So we are pushing on every single level of that. I know there's one letter that I had sent to you that will be pushed up, and then we have more coming across the board for that.
I don't want this scapegoated by the agency by saying we have to do NEPA. We don't have to do NEPA.
Right,
everything's
already
have to drop the tree. If you remove it, then you have to do NEPA, but you don't have to abate the public safety issue.
Yeah, I agree. So that's definitely something that is on our radar. So when we push it every day. So
I need some help over here.
Yeah.
We need to know.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Right. We'll
be in touch.
I'm not seeing any movement. I guess
it's not as fast as we'd like to see, which is our issue. And then we get the phone call. It's being done.
We've been dancing around this one road for 2 years.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Thank you.
Any other questions, colleagues?
Through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator. I also wanted to add additional information to Supervisor Kopsa's question with regards to contact information. For individuals that are seeking questions, inquiries, concerns about any type of sheltering, we do have a general email address. It's millfireshelterin@co.siskiyou.ca.us. And that is being manned by several staff members, so it'll be returned within 24 hours, whatever question, business hours. So we are trying to meet any question needs or anything of that nature. So if you are being told that there's someone that has not received assistance, please give them that email, and then we can reach out and within that 24-hour period of time. And I also want to also inform that Mr. Shinoni is in direct contact with the city manager of Weed, Tim Rundell, and so he is directly communicating to the city manager. So if you have any constituents or dignitaries who are seeking information, they may also directly contact him for updates as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a really quick on that. I try not to overburden on that. If there's nothing significant moving, what's the point of sending one email to say that we've done one quick thing? I try to send big pushes, and my goal is to do it every Tuesday, because that's about Monday everything gets cleaned up, and then Tuesday we get that big push and that big flow of stuff that happens from over the weekend. So my goal is to push every Tuesday. We'll have significant update reports, and then I can report out to the same to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, of course.
One more.
Go ahead.
Ongoing issue, now that we have an information officer. I guess what I'd like to see is some kind of a communication effort go out to Hornbrook. I still get 2-3 calls every other week about why isn't the county fixing my water system? And we have no authority. We have no jurisdiction. That's communication between you, your board, and the state. board. And I just a suggestion, I'd like us to do an outreach somehow, to put that out. And some people don't want to believe it, I guess, for me. So it needs to become more, I think, official with the county.
Absolutely. We'll have it written down. We'll make that push this week.
Thank you.
Yes.
Anything else, my colleagues? With that, Mr. Shinoni, I'll let you get back, because you probably have a few things you have to do today.
A couple things today. Yeah. So, thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Any other public comment in-house? And then for anybody that has comments online, please raise your hand, or Miss Anna.
Showing online.
Seeing none online, no public comment online. I'll then go to the consent agenda and item number 5. I'm going to pull item 5C. I'll be pulling wishes of my colleagues for the other agenda topics. Motion to approve by Supervisor Hall.
Second.
Supervisor Hall?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Thank you.
Item 5C, CEO Davis.
Good morning, board members. Angela Davis, County Administrator. With regards to item 5C, I'm requesting that the word approve be stricken and replaced with the word ratify, because the document has already been signed off, and so we are just seeking ratification from the board on today. Thank you.
Move to approve with the amendment. Second.
Motion second.
Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbstaff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
Done with the consent agenda. We'll go to 6, departmental requests. County administration, discussion and direction of possible action regarding the Section 605 funding. I believe Ms. Sherry Lawson gets to come up for us. It's a nice position to be in.
Yes. Good morning, Supervisor. Sherry Lawson, Deputy CAO. I am here before you this morning to talk to you about the Local Assistance and Tribal Consistency Fund, also known as the LATCF, and the allocation that Siskiyou County is being provided by the U.S. Treasury. A little bit of background. Congress reserved $1.5 billion in LATCF funds for eligible revenue-sharing counties under Section 605 of the American Rescue Plan Act to be distributed over the next 2 years. Siskiyou is eligible to receive these funds and has been allocated $12 million under the LATCF. This is the maximum allowed under the LATCF funding. We will receive $6 million this fiscal year and $6 million in fiscal year 23-24. We are able to treat these funds in a similar manner to how we treat funds generated from our own local revenues through fees, taxes, and payments in lieu and taxes. The guidance says for any governmental purpose other than lobbying. These funds are available to the county until they are expended, meaning there is no deadline to allocate these funds and there is no timeline to spend these funds. We can hold on to them for as long as we'd like, which would provide us plenty of time to thoroughly and thoughtfully plan the best use of these dollars. Administration will be creating a working group of county leaders to strategize, plan, and recommend the use of these funds. I'm asking today that the board delegate one member to our working group to provide input in upcoming meetings. I will be requesting our first distribution of funding after this meeting today, after I request the funding and we've completed our certification. The funds will be here in 4 to 5 days. I am also working with the auditor's office to create a fund to hold these separate from general funds so we can hang on to them. It can be an interest-bearing account if we want it to be. The funds are pretty flexible. So with that, I'll turn it over to you for discussion, questions, comments, concerns, everything that I've seen in the guidance. The guidance is 10 pages long, so it provides a lot of flexibility to the county and what we want to do with this funding.
Any comments in-house? Any online, Ms. Anna? Anybody can raise your hand for public comment?
Showing online.
All right. Supervisor Thompson.
So, one, I'd be very interested as a board member to be able to serve on this group if the board desires that. But I'd like to publicly thank, I know Senator Wyden was instrumental in securing this funding.
Yes.
That's been kind of under the radar for a very long time. And I know that it was through his effort to actually get this funded here recently, that his office was the one created it and also got it funded. So hats off to Senator White and
Simon,
you know, because this is all Forest Counties, I think, that are getting this per se.
Correct.
So it comes at a perfect time to for shoring up, you know, what we were wondering where would funding come from. So anyway.
Absolutely, yes.
I'll leave it at that.
Any other supervisor out?
I'd be interested as well. But I have a question. So the title's confusing me a little bit. Does the county administer the tribal piece, or is that a separate project?
The tribal piece is separate. Okay. So they had, I think it was $500 million set aside for tribal allocation, and then $1.5 billion for
towns. I think it's a tremendous benefit for the county. I really look forward to seeing how we're going to use this fund to better our county government and its service to its citizens.
Yeah.
And then we'll make it three. I'd be interested too, but this one, we'll add three.
I'll let you discuss.
Yeah, all three of us will jump in and vote. All three of us will jump in and vote. No, unintentional humor aside. It's wonderful to be in this position where it's not, you're not coming to us with a shortfall because of a loss of revenue source somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, that can be used. And one thing I've told people is if you have some money, it doesn't mean you have to spend it.
Well, exactly, and I agree. That's the beauty of
right
this funding is that we can hang on to it for as long as we want. There are reporting requirements March 31st of every year, but if we don't spend it, we just say we don't spend it, and we keep filing that report until we've exhausted all of our funds, so yeah. We can hang on to this for years.
I think it's something that you know, we've always wanted a reserve since I've been on the board.
Mm-hmm.
We've been trying that.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to do with lean budgets, but we've always been trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, we have in some areas. So, you know, why be interested in that, you know, spending on? I'll use the metaphorical leaky roofs. You know, if we're spending money on something now, it's to fix a leaky roof. And I'm not being exact when I say, you know, actual roof, but a process or a policy. So we have to spend money now on something to prevent us. It would be fixing a problem that we would have to, you know, spend a great deal more money on in the future.
Sure.
On those sorts of things. An interest-bearing account is interesting to me as well, on those processes. And like I said, and one thing I also want to be careful of is that we don't have this money set aside in nickel and dime it away either.
Agreed.
Down the road. We may, hey, we got this money, and then we kind of nickel and dime it and not have an overall plan or strategy.
Well, sure, and that's my hope for our group is that, you know, we don't want to spend up $50,000 here, $50,000 there. And not only does that make it hard to track, but I think we can plan a greater benefit to the county as a whole and not nickel and dime it.
Yeah, and I think it's a good position to be in, and it's something that gives us a little bit of breathing space for the meat essential services, what we're after.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it'll be $6 million this year, and then
$6 million next year.
Next year.
Around this time next year.
Was that
so? Yeah, so, you know, I don't need to put my name to that. You can find someone that can fill the role. It's going to come before a board for approval anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say this, that, you know, I take it as one-time money that we can look at one-time type projects that we cannot fund right now ourselves. So I would not want a nickel and dime. By the same token, I don't want to put a money in a pot and let it just sit there forever and a day. The value of that just diminishes every year that we don't use that money. So I would think we would try to take a pretty good leap at it. And I, you know, my hot time horizon would be 2 to 4 years.
Sure, absolutely.
And, you know, let's get something done productive that the citizens can see. We like to bang it up on the federal government, but they sure came through for us, didn't they?
Yeah, yes.
So let's make sure that we utilize that and prove that we can do things, you know, productively. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. No, I'm not agreeing with you, Supervisor Dallas, but it's saying that the federal government did give us this money to sit on it for 20 years.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not the intent.
Yeah, it's not the intent, absolutely. It's meet our urgent needs. With that, I'll pull my name back. I was just saying that, but welcome the colleagues' discussions. I think we have to decide on, really, on just who the board member would be.
Yes.
If we don't have to vote to approve this, it'd be unanimous anyway.
This is informational. I can come back once we have a list of projects and we can discuss further.
Ms. Davis, did you have something you were looking for today?
Well, no. We could go forward with who we would like to have on the working group.
No, that's fine.
What's the point? I mean, yeah, I would say to work it out. I certainly don't want to pick. I think anyone's capable of doing the job, to be honest with you.
Sure. Okay.
Supervisor Kopsa.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's you're in.
Yes, Supervisor Kopsa.
Yeah.
So consent.
And we're taking this all in one lump sum.
Yes.
The advice that we received is don't take it over time.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
So consensus of the board rather than a vote, correct?
Correct.
Sounds good. With that, anything else?
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And like I said, it has to come before the board anyway, so
okay.
It's actually kind of the burden on the person doing it.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Could we please have the agenda worksheet recommendation be voted on?
Oh, yes, we have to. Okay. I should have caught that, yes. Yes, because we have to establish a budget, those sorts of things. Sorry. With that,
so move the recommended motion.
Sorry. With Michael Proud, so named.
Okay. Supervisor Howell?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela? Yeah. And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Okay.
Item 6B, Community Development Office of Emergency Services. This is for the removal of fire damaged debris. Emergency ordinance.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. This is a urgency ordinance. It's associated with the cleanup process for the county, right? So essentially we had 219 homes destroyed, about 75,000 acres, in combination with McKinney Fire, Mill Fire, and Mountain Fire. So our job now is, at this point, to clean up the properties. Yes, we can. Our goal has always been to do 100% of these properties. We have three avenues for that. First of all, with the graces of the state, we have the state program that folks can sign up in at no cost to them. If they have a bit of insurance for their debris removal, we ask for that portion. Majority of folks are signed up. We're about 75% to 80% with that effort right now. Second option, if they decide to opt out of the state program, is to clean up themselves. But it would be under the supervision of environmental health and would be held to the same standard as the state cleanup. What this urgency ordinance does is basically establishes the requirements of the cleanup and also gives us abatement power if there's an individual that chooses not to clean up their property, so we can make certain that it does get cleaned up. Last resort, of course, but if needed, we would initiate the cleanup and charge that property owner for the cleanup. So, your discussion direction is possible.
So, how does this, so the Mill Fire, I'll use, this would apply to that?
Sure.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is that California OES is coming in free of charge, doing the whole Mary Ann. So is this conflicting, or is it just, I mean, why wouldn't you opt in? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's always a question that we ask folks. There's always some challenges there. But it requires the permission of the property owner to do that.
Okay.
Right, to opt in.
And that's what this ordinance is getting to, is it what you're telling me? It's, am I understanding that correctly?
Correct, yes. It's outlining requirements
for
that. And we've been fortunate in the past to get.
It doesn't conflict with the state OES program that they're rolling out.
Not at all. It goes hand in hand with it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I would say one of the complications we ran into with Slater, why some people were reluctant, was because you lose the value of your trees if you want to sell them. The state pulls them off.
Oh,
and they're not reimbursable. that could be a significant loss.
I understand. You
know, I'm just curious, that's just a question. McKinney's a little different than some of the other buyers we've dealt with, in that there are a number of homes and properties that are within the riparian river. Those are kind of encumbrances are imposed on the state for cleanup during that process. I know it's almost a no-touch zone if somebody wanted to build a home, but now we're talking about removing an inch of topsoil right down to the water's edge, you know, and so what kind of regulations do the state use or standards for environmental degradation?
You know, the best management practices are put into place. There's been teams out there that put in storm protection wattles and so forth to try to protect those properties. Internally, we are putting them on, you know, top of the list, prioritizing those cleanups adjacent to the river. Obviously, we've got the mudslide issues there on McKinney. Rains, events are going to come. So we're trying to identify a lot of properties on the south side of the river, but there are also some adjacent, you know, between the roadway 96 and the river on the north side of the river. So we're prioritizing those. As far as the environmental aspect of it goes, we're just currently filing a CEQA exemption with the state right now. There's some red tape, essentially.
Standard practice, like, you know, do they just leave it bare, scraped earth, or are they going to hydro mulch and seed, or what are they going to do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Regardless of where it's located, the erosion control is the last stage. Once all the debris removed, 3 to 6 inches of soils are removed. Confirmed contamination is gone and clear. Then erosion control comes in. Typically, it's a hydro seed mix, as you mentioned.
Okay. And going forward, do you see issues we're going to have to deal with at this, at our level, with floodplain issues with rebuilding down there?
It's going to be contentious, unique in the sense that potentially the dams are coming out, which may elevate the floodplain.
Well, even with them in, I mean, some of our homes are right on the water.
Yeah, so we'll have to deal with that. So, for example, the community center down there is in the floodplain, and the building, if they reconstruct, will have to be elevated above that level. Mm-hmm. And that will be the same with a lot of properties.
Probably going to make some of those properties not feasible to build on again.
Would there be assistance in
I don't know. Is there a some of the properties that are historic?
Yeah.
You know, are there exemptions, state exemptions, or exemptions we can do? Or
on the floodplain,
I'm just reloading all the questions. I'm going to get phone calls here.
Not aware of any exemptions for. For flood.
And is that
so insurance comes into play there?
Is it back to the state, or does that go back to the Army Corps of Engineers?
It's a federal.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one to tackle.
I'll be looking forward to your education going forward as we try and move through that.
Chair, this is a follow-up to this. There isn't any program assistance at all through the state or the federal government to, I guess it would only make sense to do it, right? Just to offset the cost of just the elevation. I'm not talking about the whole field, but I mean, have we asked that question?
I have not asked that question. You know, the SBA loans and so forth to try to assist with that. There is a program that's in existence.
Right.
Even the community centers, yes, yeah. Assist within that zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Currently, we would need to elevate that structure 3 feet. Yes.
Okay. And more fill to the floodplain.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I wouldn't want to build back on the floodplain myself, but you know, I think it's an opportunity since hopefully there'd be outside resources to accommodate the gas.
The potential damming level too, that's going to be it.
Right. We'll have to re-describe the floodplain.
Yeah.
Any other comments or questions, colleagues? And I'm catching myself on this one. Make sure we do the recommended motion.
Yeah.
Got the worksheet in front of me.
Some of the recommended motion.
Sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be aye. We will recess as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors convene as Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Item 7A, public comment. Seeing none in the house. Ms. Anna, is there any online?
Oh, we do have online.
Oh, we do. Yes, okay.
100%.
I see the name, Mrs. Debbie Bashkalupi.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. We hear you.
I was not planning on commenting on this, but hearing that the comment that the dams were coming out, I wanted to address that a letter that my father, who is a professional civil engineer, his area of expertise is dams, water improvement, water quality, et cetera, and when it comes to the dams being destroyed, his concern as a professional engineer working for the Department of Transportation at one point in his state career with California, as well as designs for bridges, roads, et cetera, he has major concern, as many of us do, I believe, about the sediment and erosion control plans on the Klamath River pertaining to the dam destruction that's proposed. He writes, as a registered civil engineer, it is inconceivable that state and federal project approval agencies, in other words, agencies who are approving the destruction of these dams, are requesting the contractor, in this case it would be the Shell Corporation, KRRC, who are not professional engineers, to be responsible for developing and implementing stormwater pollution prevention plans and water quality management plans, both of which my father was responsible for when he was working for the state of California. He writes, these plans must be developed and approved by qualified engineer personnel before any project goes out to bid. This has not been done. So I am here to encourage the Board of Supervisors to look into this, and because I still believe that there are many of us who want to preserve those dams, especially as we're experiencing drought conditions, as well as massive curtailment on our individual and properties, as well as countywide. This is an economic shame coming, and it's going to hurt people. People are already feeling hurt. In my district, I just talked to someone who mentioned that for the first time in her living here for in this particular house, living here her entire life, but in this particular residence, for the first time has no water in her ag well. So she's now having to use her domestic water for her house and drinking, et cetera, now to feed her livestock. I also recall the flood that we had here. I don't remember what year it was. I think it was the late 1990s, I'm not sure. But floods are going to happen. They're going to come, and I think before we allow things like dam destruction, we should have qualified engineers looking deeply into these sorts of agendas. I thank you for your time and look forward to perhaps some sort of response in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bashkalupi. Any other public comment online?
Sure, none online.
Great. Minute approval?
Yes, I received no corrections for these minutes.
Move to approve.
Pause. Supervisor Hop seconds.
Oh, okay. All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseff?
Yes.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. We will adjourn as the Flood Control Water Conservation District. reconvene as the Board of Supervisors. Board appointments, County Clerk, alternate delegate to Rural County Representatives of California.
Yep, we've got RCRC, we've also got the Golden State Finance Authority and Golden State Connect Authority Board of Directors. These are all for 2023. Supervisors Kopseff and Haupt were appointed as delegate and alternate to the RCRC and Golden State Finance Authority Board of Directors back at the end of 2021, and then in January 4th of 2022, they were both appointed to the Golden State Connect Authority Board of Directors for this current year. Looking to fill those spots again for 23.
Wishes of my colleagues?
I'm up for it.
Go for it.
Yeah. All right.
I would just say that, you know, there hasn't been any participation from my point of view. Maybe time to put someone else on the alternate spot to step up and take them down the future here.
When you say participation?
Well, I've been to the last annual meeting. There hasn't been any board representation. I've been to meetings. There hasn't been, you know, I know you've been there more often than not, but I have been to meetings where we have not had Siskiyou County participation. So I would just ask that if they're alternate. And Michael, you're on the, I believe, the ESGAPA.
Yes.
Maybe let Supervisor Ogren or Supervisor Chris to step in and fill that role if they're able to. Or if Supervisor Happ wants to make a commitment to be a participant, that's good too. It's just that, you know, in my role at CSAP, I know that, and Supervisor Chris would attest this, being there, being involved gets you farther down the road than not having any participation at all. And I have been asked more than once at RCRC, where is Siskiyou County? So.
Hmm. Well, then maybe you guys should consider taking me off.
No, not at all.
Well, because I've been zooming in. I have not been to the annual meeting because it conflicts with other things that I've been going. But
I'm just saying that, you know, is there an opportunity for someone else to step up at the alternate spot? I'm not saying you're not doing the job. Right. If not, roll the dice and do, you know, it's not that big a deal to me. Just giving you guys an opportunity to make a change.
Yeah. The wishes of my colleagues. And,
I certainly would like to see the Supervisor Kopseff stay in the role. He's been there. There's no reason not to have that. So I'm just giving an option for the alternate. If not, I'm okay with how it is, too.
And then one option we have, of course, too, Ms. Wendy, when does this appointment need to be made by?
I believe we've got some time.
Just because, you know, one-fifth of the board is gone. We want to consider that with one-fifth.
Well, Supervisor Ogren was at the annual meeting.
Oh, she was. Okay. That's right. She did. She reported on it.
So I just thought she might have to, you know, want to show some opportunity to step up and get a little bit more of that.
That's right. She was there. She stepped up.
And let me just say this. And Supervisor, because you know this firsthand through being at CSAC, none of us are precluded to not going to meetings and or attending the annual meetings.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't have to be, quote,
yeah,
unquote,
you have to be a delegate.
Right. And I will say this. You know, a lot of our peer counties, their full participation. I mean, Mono County has all their board members show up to these things, right? So that's, you know, they see the value. And I have to, you know, strongly push for that. And more, you know, it can't be just me or you so much, because it has to be all of us being a participant to get the full value out of RCRC and CC.
Well, I said there's also like multiple workshops that you can split up. And
as you know, you can't do them both.
You can double tack it with double.
Anyways, it was just an opportunity. It's not a big issue for me. It's just an opportunity. Okay. Again, so whether Ogren having been there, I have not had any discussion with her whether she's interested in it.
Answer to your question,
they
would need it before the first meeting, which is until in January 18th. So we would have a couple more board meetings before.
Yeah, we want to consider Supervisor Ogren's. Yeah.
Usually it's by the December meeting, isn't it?
They like to have it ahead of time, so
yeah. They like it ahead of time.
I guess the only question I would have,
because the chair will make appointments in December, so
well, for their
meetings so the following week.
Shoot for either the first meeting or the one meeting in November or the first meeting in December.
I would aim for the first one in November if we did put it off.
Okay.
I'm not RC. Do you think maybe the first meeting in December for the alternate?
I think the sooner the better. It complicates things.
Yes, okay.
So continue to November 1 for now.
Oh, no, that's just a question.
Oh, okay.
Just a question right
now.
Okay. Well, I would make the motion as soon as it pops up to be the delegate to RCRC. He's been there. There's no reason not for him not to be there. So can we do that one first?
I'll second it.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
And as far as the alternate, if you got Supervisor Help wants to stay in that role and be a participant, I'm okay with that. If you have any desire to not be a participant for whatever reason, let's open it up to see if anyone else wants to do it. I know I can't because I'm too committed with what I, because it's a commitment to be involved, as you well know, Supervisor Chris. I'm not in the running here.
Yeah.
The only opportunity would be, and either Supervisor Kopsev is either one of the three of you that want to step up. And again, being an alternate is only, there was no board member at the annual meeting for discussion. We do the same thing. We have a board meeting in conjunction with, and there were some heavy items there, if I remember.
And I'm already an alternate to CSAC, so.
I like the way it's split up, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because, and there should be some cross.
Yeah.
I want to see us be more involved.
Yeah, I'm already an alter of CSAC. I would request it for myself for RCRC.
So,
that's where I was going.
I'll take some fall here that I should be in better communication with my alternate about when I can't be there, and I have no trouble keeping Supervisor Help in that role, and making sure that he's aware that he knows that when I can't be there.
I don't go as a duplicate. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you the truth. I mean, not there.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs a lot of money for this county for us to both be there.
Well, they've been doing Zoom meetings for the past few years.
I understand that.
So I'm fine with Supervisor Help being it, I'll do a better job of making sure he knows it when I'm not there. Because the annual meeting is usually the one that I can't make,
sure.
Depending on the time frame that it is in September.
Perfect. I'll take that as a motion, Supervisor Help.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Supervisor Valenzuela seconds it.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. So, Ms. Wendy, we did item, item 8A1.
A1, correct.
And now we're doing the Golden State Finance Authority. And by tradition, that's always the RCRC reps.
Typically,
all right. With that, entertain a discussion or motion for colleagues.
So, we're at the...
A2. Oh, okay.
It just finally came up.
There you go, Supervisor Kopsev.
So we're at A2? Yeah, that's usually the same.
Yeah, let's do the same for all.
I would make the motion.
Yeah.
Supervisor Mills, by the seconds it.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
And then the last one
Number three. Now,
this is a newer one.
This is a little bit newer, yes.
This is the broadband.
Yes, it is. And
yes, okay.
Currently it. But if, there is someone that wants to be on this as the delegate, I don't think there's any reason why it has to be the same. I mean, traditionally it's the same, but if one of you are more connected into broadband than I am, you're more than welcome to it.
Supervisor Kopsev, I don't want to step on your toes. So I'm not meaning to in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But I know Supervisor Overton is interested in broadband.
Well, and
if you want to wait,
that's kind of, well,
or if we need it today.
Even if she wanted to be the delegate or the alternate, I mean.
Or if you want her as your alternate?
But yeah, I mean, if
Supervisor Help doesn't want to be the alternate.
Is that?
Probably.
Okay.
Even though I'm sitting next to you, I don't want to step on your toes.
Yeah, no. Because it is new. And it's just getting up and running, so it's a great opportunity.
I know she has a big passion for that.
Yeah, I know that as well.
Yeah.
So,
and this,
I'm very well connected with broadband and CSAC, so I don't need to
do both.
Overstep.
That's why I was asking you, Supervisor Downs,
for
this. I know
Supervisor Overton has shown interest in broadband, but I have not had any discussions. I send her all the information with National Association stuff.
Okay, all right. So I wouldn't want to step on your toes either, because I know you're broadband, but you're dealing with CSAC.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So would you want to be your alternate or your relative? Or you vice versa, that would be more switching?
It doesn't matter to me, I guess what I'm saying. I don't mind being the delegate if she wants to be the alternate or vice versa. I don't think it's required that we have to follow the same thing. I know on the GSFA one it is, kind of, but I think on this one, I think it's a little more flexible.
All right. I don't be surprised, Supervisor Ogden. And if you miss a meeting, you get volunteered. I'll make the motion, Ms. Wendy, and you take the heat for her.
And that's going to be...
If I mess up in any way, shape, or form, it's my fault.
And the motion is COPS...
Ogren, delegate, if you're fine.
Yeah.
And COPSF alternate. And Valenzuela, you were fine with that because you're active with CSAC.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hang on just a sec, make sure I got this right. So Ogren as delegate, mm-hmm. COPSEF alternate, mm-hmm. and who is the second? Mm-hmm.
Oh. And the only caveat I put into that, unless it's required that,
then you can change it.
That we have to follow the other, but she could still be the alternate either way. But
okay.
Does that make sense? You see what
and
I'm
I,
saying?
If I hear something back from RCRC when I send that information in, I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay. I know you, Supervisor Valenzuela, really been pushing broadband at the CSAC level in Washington.
Mm-hmm. I started an ad hoc committee that was very functional. That got some funding for the state. There's no mile funding. There's we just got the thing changed where there's going to be a county representative on the board.
And I've watched you down there lobbying for it.
Yeah.
With that, we'll call for a vote.
Okay. Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela? Or COPSEF, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
And Supervisor Chris?
All right. Aye. I'll be aye.
Okay.
Now another one.
The other one.
County Clerk, I'll let you read it, but this is for the...
This is the...
Counties and Services Joint Powers Authority.
Yeah, Rural Counties Representative of California, RCRC, Environmental Services Joint Power Authority. So that's called the ESJPA. This would be for Board of Directors for 2023. And last December, Supervisor Kopseff was appointed as delegate. Former General Services Director Jason Ledbetter and Project Coordinator Joy Hall were appointed as first and second alternates. Mr. Ledbetter has left the county. I've heard from General Services Director Joy Hall. She's requested to be the first alternate, and that Project Coordinator Amanda Kimball be named second alternate. This is a little different. They have one board member and then two other county staff.
Right, in addition, Supervisor Kopseff usually takes it on, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or RCRC rep.
Yeah.
That way. I would make a motion along those lines, Ms. Bindy.
So Supervisor Kopseff and then Ms. Hall and Ms. Amanda.
Ms. Amanda.
Okay.
And just so the board knows that I currently chair this committee as well. Until December with the new chair, and we'll see where they go.
Okay. And do we have a second? Okay, thank you. Alrighty. So Supervisor Hill.
All right.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
And Supervisor Chris.
I'll be an aye. Under the Board of Supervisors, minute approval, Ms. Whitney.
I've received no corrections for these either.
Wishes of my colleagues?
Move approved.
Second. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Abstain.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Ready.
Now, okay. Do you need a break, Ms. Wendy?
No, I think we're good.
You're good? All right. We'll now get into public hearings. I'll be opening the public hearing for item 10A. Which is the prime agriculture and non-prime agricultural, which is on the Dobson zone change, item 10A. So opening a hearing and reading order presentation this morning.
Yes, this is the public hearing. This is for the first reading of an ordinance, and it's to rezone approximately 691 acres from prime agricultural and non-prime agricultural to timber production, and this is for property located south and west of Grenada and west of Cram Gulch Road.
Assistant, a staff report.
Thank you. This is Bernadette Sisson, assistant planner. This project is a proposed zone change in order to align the zoning with the existing and future use of the property as timber production. The project site is located on Guys Gulch Road, south and west of Grenada. It was reviewed by the Planning Commission during their September meeting, and they recommended approval of the project. This project is currently zoned for prime and non-prime agricultural uses. The planning staff is proposing that this project be found consistent with the general plan and recommends that this project be found statutorily exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15264 Timberland Preserves, which exempts local agencies from the requirement to prepare an EIR or negative declaration on the adoption of timberland preserve zones under Government Code Sections 5100 through 51119. A suggested motion is in the agenda worksheet. Thank you.
I don't need glasses yet, I've just got a bigger font. Presentation of correspondence from Ms. Wendy?
Not at the clerk's level.
All right, and then presentation reports or evidence by other county departments or public agencies? Seeing none, and no one?
Sure,
no one. All right. Proponents? Opponents? Any public comments?
Show no one.
No rebuttals. Since this is a first reading, I shall not close.
Correct.
And discussion or motion by board members?
Recommended motion.
Second.
And just to make a note that the second reading can be on December 6th in order to give time. I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Do we have enough time for the first? Hang on. We've already published it as a public hearing. So, yeah, maybe November 1st is available.
Well, I'll include that in my motion.
Second agree.
Now that I look it over. Yes, November 1st is available.
All right.
Okay, all righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Okay.
All right. Now, item 10B, Behavioral Health Services, Mental Health Services Act, annual update, and a little bit of a revision. Dr. Collard.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Sarah Collard, Director of Health and Human Services. I know it seems like we were just here on this item, and we were, but after we completed our annual update, we were given an opportunity to join other counties for a new innovation plan, which involves updating our electronic health record. Our current electronic health record has, I think we implemented that in 2012, and it's a very cumbersome system that was developed primarily for billing purposes. So we estimate that our staff spend about 40% of their time on documentation. And we went through the community planning process as required for innovation and all other MHSA programs and got a lot of feedback from staff and our partners that use of that EHR is contributing to burnout and it is adding to our difficulty with retention. And in addition, with CalAIM, we have payment reform coming on in July of 2023. And so this system will be able to handle that new way of billing for services. So we're really looking forward to implementing this. There's a semi-statewide EHR program. There's, I think, 23 counties at this point who have jumped on board with this, and so we're hoping to standardize across, much of the state. There's many small counties that are participating, and it also will enable us to meet our new reporting requirements to the state. We have, as I'm sure you can imagine, many things that we have to report pertaining to our business, so this will help facilitate that as well and hopefully take some of the burden off of our support staff. We spend hours and hours and hours of their time trying to sort through the data sources we have available now and get those in a format that we can report up to. So, any questions?
I'll just go through the order. Presentation of correspondence.
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Presentation or arguments by other county departments or public agencies? Any proponents?
None online.
Opponents? Public comment?
Sure,
no rebuttals, since there's no proponents or opponents. Ms. Wendy, on this one?
We can close the hearing. There's
thank you. I always like to check with you.
No need for a second.
We'll close the hearing. Discussion or motion by board members? Supervisor Howell.
Do you know which software this is that the state uses?
I don't. I can get back to you on
I'm well aware of a number of them, and boy, I think it's time consuming now. Just wait till we get one of those in place.
So the program we're moving to is Streamline, but I don't know the software.
That's the name of the program.
The name of the program is Streamline.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not familiar with that.
It's new to California. I think that one of the challenges we've had in behavioral health is California has so many unique requirements that there aren't a lot of vendors that have been willing to come in and provide, you know, those services. But now that we're going to payment reform, it's sort of opened up the field and gives us more opportunity.
I know the hospital's in their third trial of a different.
Yes.
It's no better.
It's very challenging.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that this will be much easier for staff. I remember when I was using it as a provider, it was horrible. It was just so time consuming, and I think it's gotten worse since then because we have more requirements.
I'll make the recommended motion.
Second. Motion is second.
Okay. Supervisor Howell.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobb-Seff.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Thank you.
Now, item 10C, opening of the hearing from the chairman, and then reading order of presentation.
Let's see. This is the public hearing, and it has to do with the permanent local housing allocation program and consider resolutions for the cities of Wairika, Weed, Mount Shasta, Montague, Aetna, Dunsmuir and Doris, and the town of Fort Jones to delegate their allegations to the county, and also approving associated agreements for each of those jurisdictions.
You may have some technical difficulties.
We're looking for the PowerPoint.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
We have a presentation.
And if we need a few minutes, we don't mind taking a little break here.
No, that'd be fine. Either way.
Ms. Bryan, I'll take a little break so you have to make a little rush.
Thank you.
We'll take 4 minutes, 45 seconds.
Okay.
That should do it.